It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Well, afternoon basketball action for you here, Boston fans. Celtics lose 112-106, and what are you going to do? Abdel Nader crunch minutes in the late portions of the game. Jabari Bird out there. Hey, one of these teams was tanking, and it wasn't the Hawks. Brad Stevens gets his team some rest in the second half, and the bench doesn't execute late into this game. Defensively, they were pretty horrific. Greg Monroe was out there, of course, with Bird, Nader, Ojale, Larkin, who didn't have his best night, a minus 15. 2-9 shooting, 5 missed threes, most of them good looks. So, one part of me says on this one, whatever, the starters didn't play, and rightfully so. Good for Brad getting these guys rest in the second half. In fact, he had praise for them in the first half. But out of the post-game presser, Steven says the bench is going to be crucial to what the Celtics do late in the playoffs. That concerns me a little bit. We talked on the last post-game show on Friday about how this rotation is probably going to get tightened up. You're probably only going to see 7-8 guys. It's going to be different this year. But the fact was, Stevens has always gone deep into his bench for production into the postseason. Now, it's been different in the past. His roster's been healthy. He's had good bench options. He's had a number of different lineups to do that with. Now, I've heard a million different complaints about Abdel Nader left and right across Twitter ever since the Celtics drafted him and saw him in the summer league. I don't know what it is about him that elicits such hate. I know he's not a defensive master. He's not a poised passer by any means. But he can put his head down and get to the basket. Can hit a three. He didn't take any today, but he's shooting 40% from three since all the injuries struck. He's only getting 14 minutes a game, but he's scoring 4 in them. Giving them a little scoring punch when they push into this bench. Now, I don't want them playing in the postseason. I definitely have concerns over what Steven said in the presser today. And then there's the whole conversation about Jabari Bird. You bring him onto the bench for the playoffs, even if it means cutting Nader. I don't know. It's definitely intriguing. He cuts well. He's defensively equipped, unlike Nader. Pairing those two, I think Bird probably wins by a hair. But I think the crux of the question is, why is the 10th, 11th player on this roster going to be playing in the postseason? Matchups, I guess. Stevens loves the matchups, but I don't know what kind of matchup's going to call for one of those guys. Now, there was an early portion of this game that we're really going to hone in on here because I don't think the second half matters all that much, but it's going to if they're going to go down to those guys in the postseason. So we'll see. 347-215-7771. I'm rolling solo for the next half hour, so don't leave me hanging here on this post-game show. 2 games left. We're going to see the Wizards on Tuesday and Nets on Wednesday. A possible playoff preview with the Wizards, that is. And games of interest later, there are none. Pacers, of course, beat the Hornets today by 6. 76ers beat the Mavericks, win their 14th straight, and clinch a top 4 seed in the playoffs. So if the Sixers win out, I believe the 3 seed is there. So the Celtics are staying in an interesting position right now because locked in as the 2 seed, officially now. 76ers determine their own outcome on this season with 2 games left for them. If they win the final 2 against the Hawks, and the Bucks, they're going to be the 3 seed, lined up on the same side of the bracket as the Celtics. Now, the Celtics are still lined up against the Bucks, which I think people feel good about, despite Giannis Antetokounmpo staring them down on the other side of that matchup. There's multiple matchups around them that I think the Celtics win. And then, of course, you're going to have Tyler Zeller and Greg Monroe as the bench matchup, which is funny for throwing it back 2 years ago. Playoffs are looking good. Now, a lot can change. Wizards are just one game back with the Bucks, but they've lost 4 straight. A little bit of turmoil building there, I hear. I haven't read the stories out of their recent games, but there's been a little bit of infighting there this year. Playoffs are lining up, and if we're getting into the players who matter, the early portion of this game, which Stevens had a lot of positive things to say about. Al Horford commanded the offense impressively today. Tried to get the two-man game going with Rozier a little bit early on. It didn't work as well as they wanted it to, but it still produced some good shots for Horford that he was able to sink down today. He ends this game in just 26 minutes with 16-5-7, which is going to go down as his, or 16-7-4, I read that wrong, sorry. That's going to go down as his 7th straight with double figures. So the number one criticism that Horford gets, he's converting on right now, and it's pretty clear, based on how Stevens ran this game, that he's going to be used interchangeably with Monroe rather than both of them out there at the same time. Now, if you're getting 15-ish apiece from both of them, that's 30 points for your centers. Feel good about that. But this team's really going to come down to how much Brown, Rozier, Tatum, and Morris can score. Morris sat today. Good rest for him. And returning from his lone night off of the season, Tatum looked very smooth today, getting out in transition when he needed to, ahead of Horford, Brown, some other players feeding him good passes in that capacity. He knocked down the lone 3 he took, and he started this game off with 7 of their first 11 points, so establishing that early lead, which is going to be important for this team, seems like a capability of his. Brown had a 50% game, 5-10. Tough finishes inside for him, too. And Rozier flirted with a triple-double, 10, 8, and 9. We talked quite a bit on Friday about how far we anticipate this team going in the postseason. A lot of it's going to depend on who they see there, for certain. Bucks, I feel good about that. Heat, definitely still feel good about that, even though the matchups get a little more interesting inside. Kelly Olynyk's there. And you know Olynyk could always hurt someone, whether it's physical or with the threes. He's had a sensational season if you haven't been paying attention to the Heat basketball. The Wizards. Very intrigued about that possibility. Of course, it'd be a rematch of last season. John Wall's back, though he has not played his best basketball since returning. Looking at their last game, which was against the Cavaliers, or the Hawks, rather, they did lose to the Cavaliers as well, but they suffered a similar fate against the Hawks as the Celtics did today. Prince went off for 23. Deadman knocked down some shots. Meanwhile, looks like Wall sat out of that game. 1-6 from Morris. Beal pulling the brunt of the scoring, but not a lot coming from anyone else. Porter, the only other one in double figures. Kelly Oubre looking off on the bench. There's a few things that scare me about the Wizards. That transition game. They're tough at home. They always have been. Really going to be leaning on their defense to win them games, to keep them steady and competitive in games. And the greatest kryptonite to that is transition game. If you can just blast out for runs, especially transition threes, the secret weapon in the NBA nowadays, those can really hurt a good defense. And Wizards, that's their bread and butter. Matchups are going to matter quite a bit these playoffs. So I'm done rolling solo. If you want to call in 347-215-7771, we have Andrew Rubino on the line. But before I bring him in, let's talk about eHarmony for a second. As I pull it up. You know, 66% of men lose their hair by 35. Key is getting ahead on that. See your hair start slowly moving backwards. Don't turn to the weird alternatives, solutions. You got to stick to medicine and science. So, Hims, get ahead of your hair loss. Just go to 4hims.com. Check out their one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. It's not snake oil pills. It's not the gas station supplements. There's no waiting room or awkward doctor visit. It's just an easy connection to real doctors and medical-grade solutions that treat hair loss. So order now. Get your free trial month of Hims for $5 right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. Could call hundreds if you want to go to a doctor or pharmacy. But for Hims, it's going to let you try their hair loss solution with the report. Promo code 4hims.com/report. That's FORHIMS.com/report. Andrew Rubino's on the line. Let's bring him in.
What's up, man? That was an interesting game. There's definitely bits and pieces that are kind of silver linings to an annoying loss to a very inferior Atlanta team. But I would say my biggest takeaway from that game was that Semi had three threes. I mean, he was 3 for 3. You've been on him all year, Bobby, about his kind of lack of three-point production. He came in, he was drafted as a guy that you felt like had a decent stroke and would play good D, but he's really struggled from behind the arc. But if you can get 20-plus minutes from him in the playoffs and he can hit, I don't know, call 35 to 40% of his threes and play good D, that's going to be huge for the Celtics team. That's obviously gone a little bit thinner at guard since Kyrie's went down.
Ojale has been a guy they've leaned on all year long. That sticks out to me quite a bit because through his struggles, and he has had immense struggles, especially behind the three-point line this year, getting open looks and just bricking them. And that's why I was getting hard on him, because if they're creating looks like that for you, just miles and miles of space you have to convert, especially as a guy who hit three-pointers in college. There was a lot of hype for this guy coming out of SMU for a second-round pick. Good lesson to stymie the hype for these second round guys. But he has been tremendous out there, I would say, even since all the starters went down. I've kind of been using the phrase since March 11th quite a bit in my analysis of this team, because that's when everything changed for them, when three players went down against the Pacers. And since then, coming into today, he was shooting 40% from three. And now after three game, as you said, that's going to bump up even more. A few guys have been doing that for them, Andrew, and one thing I was talking about before you got on the air here, we had been assuming that the bench was going to tighten up come playoff time. You wouldn't see as much Nader, as much Ojale, as much of some of these wing players that they've been leaning on now. You're, of course, not going to see the guys who are ineligible to play, but Steven said after the game today, the bench is going to be key to what they do in the playoffs, whether they're going 3, 4, 5 deep. And that's everyone they have. That surprised me coming out of this one. Now, of course, they went to the bench for most of that second half. They let them finish the game, which I think says a lot about what Stevens is going to be expecting from them come playoff time. That also means they're going to be resting guys, which is fine. But is that the right move for what they have right now, you think? Continuing to run a deep rotation into the postseason?
Well, I would say, yeah, continue it because you want to rest all these guys, but I do expect a little bit more. I would say that the guys who started today are probably going to be the starters come game one in the first round, when the Celtics are going to be the 2 seed, most likely, with
Horford at the four, and you have Baines at the five, and then obviously Rozier playing the one with Brown and Tatum. And then I think once Morris comes back, Morris is, for me, I like him coming off the bench because he gives you kind of that nice punch with kind of his just like confidence and the way he comes off and just doesn't care about anything but getting his buckets and playing just kind of scrappy D. So I think he's going to be a huge piece. I think him and Monroe are kind of have that six-man. They'll both kind of have that six-man feel. And then you'll see some Ojeleye, maybe a little bit of Nader, but maybe a little bit of Larkin. But I think, Bobby, this rotation will tighten up more than we think. And I think the best thing about Stevens is he's always one to say how much he likes a guy, say like a Shane Larkin. He'll praise him in press conferences, say how great he is. And then guess what? There will be some games that Larkin doesn't play much in the regular season. I think the playoffs will be a very similar way. If he throws in Larkin and he likes what Larkin's doing, or say a guy like Nader, then, yeah, you might see more of them in the playoffs. Because you know what, Bobby? This team is so – it's got almost that won't-die mentality considering all the injuries and crazy things that's happened to them this year. Besides, obviously, Hayward and Kyrie and Smart going down, you have that Jaylen Brown injury that was such a scare. So there's been so many weird, crazy things. I can see Stevens in a game rolling with one of the guys off the bench that gets hot. And I think they have more depth than kind of they came in thinking they would have, considering that Monroe has played such great minutes. I mean, look at the way he was today. You go 7 of 8. Monroe goes 7 of 8 in 22 minutes to give you 17 points. I mean, I would like to see the boards maybe increase a little bit. He only had 2 today, but still his passing has been so good. I mean, he had 4 assists today coming off that 10 assist game. I want to say, was it a couple nights ago? But anyways, he looked good as well. Yeah, 2 nights ago. So I think it's just one of those things that Stevens is one of those guys that is always ready to pull the trigger and play a guy maybe more than he should. I mean, Kelly Olynyk in that Game 7 against the Wizards in last year's conference semi. So that's kind of the way I feel like Stevens has been. And next year will be a completely different situation, assuming everybody's healthy because they have so much great kind of upper-level talent. But once you kind of get past the starters, there's going to be guys that are going to see a fluctuation of playoff minutes, in my opinion.
I'm not surprised about Larkin and Monroe in particular. Those are going to be guys they really lean on come playoff time. And Larkin wasn't at his best today. With 16 seconds left, he got a big steal that could have pushed us to a two-point game. He had a wide-open layup running right off of the steal and just completely botched it. I just botched that word. He was 0-5 outside. My biggest concern with him still, and I've been hard on Larkin at times, so I'll admit he has had a sensational season for what he came in here to do. And if you look at the net ratings since everyone went down, he very quietly has a +5 net rating compared to Rozier, who's about +2. So they have fared very well on both ends of the court when this guy has been running point. And you can see why. He kind of does a lot of the things Smart does at a much smaller size, granted, but he isn't the greatest shot maker. He'll still put them up. And he has those hard drives to the rim that really open guys up. He did have a 7 assists in this game. One really good one in the first half that stuck out to me, getting right into traffic, dumping right at the point of the attack. He had just scored in a similar spot in the paint. And this time, dumps it right off to Bird, who was 4-5 today as well, finishes inside smoothly. He's a great facilitator. He changes speeds really well. He really is showing he's the perfect Stevens player. Now, the big concern in the playoffs, and I think the biggest concern to this team, period, Andrew, is that it's all about buckets come playoff time. And they can have great ball movement. They can be creating open looks. But the intensity, the closeouts are faster. Even if you get good looks, you need to have guys who can knock down shots with poise. And every guy you're putting on the court who isn't a shooter, it's a little bit. And Larkin is one of those guys. Monroe, too, for that matter. Does the shot-making on the team concern you right now? Because I think they have 4 great shot-makers between Morris, Tatum, Rozier, and Brown. But beyond that, just question marks.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I would like to see Horford become the first half of the season Horford that was playing so well and was arguably an MVP candidate and start hitting more of his shots. I mean, you kind of saw it today. He shot almost 50% from the field with 5 and 11 from the field, and he had 2 of his 3 three-pointers. So for me, if Horford can become that kind of offensive 15 to 17 range in the playoff, I think that would do wonders for them, because if he's going to stay in that low teens range with points per game come playoff time, especially if they're going against some hot team in the second round like the 76ers, who have a great big in Joel Embiid, who's going to most likely be back by that time for the second round, assuming the Sixers win a first round matchup. I mean, I would like to see Horford become that guy, because the thing that scares me about Tatum is not that I don't trust him with his play and moving forward, and I've been on the record saying how great I think he's going to be one day. I'm just worried that it's his first playoff, so say Tatum has a little jitters in the first round or so. So are we really just going to rely on Rozier and Brown to score all the buckets? Because, like, you're going to need some production from Horford, who, like everybody's saying, is the most paid guy on this team. So
yeah, and I did say on Friday that there's going to be due room to criticize him if he isn't on his game come playoff time, because he probably is the most important two-way player entering the postseason, even though we haven't talked a lot about him over the last few weeks. He's going to command a great defensive lineup, whether he's out there with a big or just by himself, and he's going to be the most important defensive piece in any of those lineups. But you need a little bit of offense from him the way this is going. All year long, they've been a little bit of a better defensive team than they have been on offense. They've been pretty mediocre as a team all year on offense, and he needs to take a little more commanding role in creating offense. That doesn't mean he needs to be scoring 20 like he could have today if he actually played the full game. He looked very smooth out there after his night off. Big praise for Horford. I think that's the greatest takeaway from this game, is that he's going to be just fine, at least in my opinion, come postseason time. He's going to turn up to another level. He's going to be playing way more minutes. And he's going to hold down a solid defensive front court whenever he's out there, as he's shown all year. He was back to knocking down threes tonight too, today. Game got moved to the afternoon, as he hadn't been lately. So lots of good signs out of Horford. Rozier, near to triple-double, like I said. He's keeping turnovers fairly low until today. He tried getting into that two-man game with Horford. That caused a few turnovers to come from him. But I'm feeling much better as I start to see some of these things work in the shape. You know, I was saying before you came on, playoffs are looking pretty good standing-wise right now. They're still lined up against the Bucks. Bucks control their own destiny. Unfortunately, Bucks and 76ers face off over these last two games, so either the Bucks are going to lose that and maybe drop a spot, or the 76ers lose their 14-game win streak that they're on right now, and they too control their own destiny as the 3 seed, a game over Cleveland. So as things stand out, if these teams win out and they get a loss from Cleveland or Washington to keep them back a game of where they're at, Celtics would be lined up with the Bucks round one and the 76ers or Heat round two. That's the ideal matchups, at least to me.
Yeah, Bobby, I've been saying this for about a month off the record when me and you and our other buddy, CLNS media member Taylor McLeod, talked. I've said just avoid Cleveland and Toronto as long as you can. And if we can sneak into the Eastern Conference Finals and face one of the two juggernauts of Toronto and Cleveland, I think that's the ideal situation. And look, I get that Cleveland's a 4 seed, but if anybody watched that Philly and Cavs game on Friday night, LeBron James is in peak form like he's been all year, and that was an absolute battle of a game. The Cavs they almost took down the Sixers, who were red hot. So there's no way you can say that Cleveland's still not the favorite to come out of the East. I understand that Toronto had a great regular season, but it's LeBron James, and Cleveland looks very good, and LeBron's going to carry them as far as he can take them. And he's been to, what, 8 straight finals, Bobby? The last time a non-Eastern Conference team with LeBron James went to the finals was 2008, the Celtics championship. The 2010 Celtics team that lost to the Lakers in the finals in 7. So that's how long LeBron's dominance has been over the East. So you want to avoid LeBron as long as possible. So I think the matchups right now, as they stand, look pretty good. But before we totally move on to maybe talking about some hypothetical matchups, I want to ask you tonight, Bobby, you have Monroe scoring 17 points. You have Horford scoring 16. I get that Horford didn't play as many minutes as he potentially will come playoff time. But do you genuinely think, Bobby, that the Celtics can get to the Eastern Conference Finals and beat a red-hot Philly team, or just call it a really good Philly team, even if they're not as hot come playoff time, say they struggle in round one?
can they get to the Eastern Conference Finals by having, say, Monroe score more points per game than Horford? Do you think that that's like a formula for potentially disaster, or do you think that the way this team is built, as long as Horford's playing good D and getting 15-5-5 or so, that's going to be good enough? What do you think?
The Philly matchup will be hard, and I'm so excited for that being a possibility. I said over the summer that we're about to enter an era with the 76ers-Celtics rivalry, long one of the greatest rivalries in basketball history. There was a great rivalry playoff series between those two through almost every decade the NBA has existed. And we're on the verge of getting back to that, and it could happen as soon as this year. And the fan bases, even though the teams haven't been, you know, hot going at each other, having, like, classic games yet, these fan bases fight at each other. You know, the Celtics got back to success early. 76ers had the whole process thing going where they're, you know, just contemplating what's to come. And that was something Celtics fans had a lot of fun with. And 76ers fans got all angry and upset about, but they're having their moment of shine right now. Taylor told me before the season started that they weren't going to make the playoffs, and he was pretty far off on that one. But I'm thrilled about that because I think these teams match up so well. I mean, Simmons looks impossible to guard by anyone right now. Horford has had success against Embiid. So that would be a fun matchup to see those two going at each other again. And the Celtics do have size to throw at a team that depends on their size. The matchup games to that series would be so much fun. The Sixers are just getting into the postseason for the first time. That's a disadvantage, I'd say. You have championship experience on the Celtics team with Baines. And the defensive grittiness be fun. The backcourts are really good going back and forth. TJ McConnell, Shane Larkin, two energy guys. I hope I don't get disappointed by you throwing that out there as a possible playoff series, because that would probably be 6-7 games of pure fun, all to go up against the Cavaliers. I think they could, the way the playoffs are currently lined up, I think they could make that run, Bina.
No, I see it as a strong possibility, and that was a huge game the other night with playoff implications when LeBron missed those free throws. It was about a little over a second left to potentially tie the game. He got fouled on the three. That was a super fun game, but it does make you excited, Bobby, for how these playoffs are going to be, and just overall, too, in the West as well, because, yeah, there are really good, strong possibilities of a Warriors-Cavs rematch, but it's not going to be the cakewalk like it was last year. Like, last year's playoffs were so boring because of the way the Warriors just coasted through the West and the way Cleveland really just dominated the East. It was not exciting. Everybody kind of waited for the finals, and then the finals was lackluster. I really think that this year there's so many different storylines and so much there's a lot of grit to each team. I mean, nobody at all, Bobby, is talking about the Indiana Pacers. They have one of the youngest, best cores, maybe besides Philly, in the East, of guys that are playing well together. They're gritty, and they're going to fall right in that potentially five seed and play Cleveland round one. And I know they wouldn't be talked about much or be favored at all, but it still would be a really interesting matchup seeing Indiana play Cleveland, because Cleveland, the way they've played this year, yeah, I think everybody expects LeBron to get them back to the finals, but I think every series for Cleveland is going to be hard because LeBron's going to run out of gas at some points and they're going to need other guys to step up. So I think this playoffs is going to be really interesting, especially considering the way the seeding is, and Cleveland's going to have to go on the road a lot if they do make it out of that first round.
Yeah, they're going to have issues if Rodney Hood can't stay healthy either, because he's a real crux to many lineups that they're going to run. He can play the two and three, has size for both, can shoot. And some of the other guys they have there aren't that versatile. So he is a guy who struggles with injuries, and he has late in this season. We'll see how he's looking come playoff time. The defense is something that needs to turn up in intensity for them, or else they are going to have problems against an Indiana team that they probably aren't just going to walk over. Great rim protection there. A very underrated coaching effort on the sidelines going on. Victor Oladipo has torn teams to shreds left and right. So if they're slacking defensively at all against him, it's going to be trouble. Though I'd still pick the Cavs at five. That's just the way it is. When LeBron is giving you 40, 10, and 10 the way he is this postseason, even if they're pulling those games out by the grit of their teeth, as they did against Indiana a few years ago when Paul George was there in the first round, they're still going to roll through it. Second round, who would they get? The Raptors. I love the Raptors this year. I still think they have a much better chance of succeeding in the playoffs than they do before, but they still don't have a force to go head-to-head with LeBron. And then Kevin Love's still going to be giving you 20 to 25. So I think the East Conference Finals are still there for the taking, no matter who the Cavs play. Now, if Philly ran into them, Ben Simmons changes things a little bit. Because I think the number one thing you need to knock LeBron off is a one singular force who isn't going to meet LeBron's greatness, but at least try to negate him a little bit on the other side. LeBron gives you 30, 10, and 10. Simmons is going to bounce back with, I don't know, 25, 9, and 9. Things out a little bit. Then you get down to the role players, and that could swing either way.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I would take Philly's role guys over the guys on the Cavs. Just because, one, Philly's had a whole full season to have all these guys mesh. And number two, the way J.J. Redick plays and he shoots and the way he comes off of screens and the clutch shooting he has. I mean, you think about the fact that he does so much more than a Kyle Korver. I mean, you really could go down the list of guys that Philly has. Like Saric, I would take him over Thompson and Seti Osman right now. So, I don't know. That's just that would be a really fun matchup as well if that was potentially an Eastern Conference Finals and Celtics fans, if there was an upset of Philly over Boston in a potential conference semis. But, you know, Bobby, I think the great thing about all these teams this year is that there's a huge star on every team. I guess maybe except the Heat don't have that, like, one star that everybody would know. I guess Whiteside and D. Wade kind of create that kind of new, a good vibe where it's exciting, and a Philly-Miami first-round matchup would be great. But every team has something to bring to the table. It's not like the when the Pistons were kind of – Pistons a couple years ago were in the first round of the playoffs, and people kind of know Drummond, but not really. And he's kind of just like a scrapper who gets bored. He's not, like, exciting. Every matchup will have a lot of firepower to it. So it should be really interesting. I mean, the Wizards just got well back. So you never know when the Wizards play the Raptors. I mean, that's a series that you don't know. That's usually the 4-5 or the 3-6 matchup, not the 1-8. So that could go multiple ways as well. So there's a lot of fun potential matchups in even the first round of the East.
Wizards and Celtics play at 8 o'clock on TNT this Tuesday. Celtics are finishing the season on a back-to-back. We're going to talk to Chris Grenham, CLNS correspondent, on the ground at TD Garden. See what he has to say about some of the things Stevens mentioned after this game. One thing I haven't gotten into yet is the prospect of, you know, a lot of people are mad at Abdel Nader right now, and he did botch several plays down the stretch of this game. But would you really cut him just to bring Jabari Bird on board? That's going to carry over some cap implications into the summer that I don't have an exact answer for right now. He's only making $450,000, but he is signed for several years, so I think there'd be some implications to cutting him right now. But if you want to bring Jabari Bird into the postseason and really think that makes a difference, you're going to have to cut Nader right now or an injured player. That's a possibility, but I don't think anyone would cut Tice right now just to bring Bird on board for the playoffs. So it's Nader or nothing, I'd say. And someone asked Stevens about that after the game, and he said, that's not my decision. I will tell you this, though. Bird's going to play a ton in these last two games. So maybe a little secret signal up to the office of Danny Ainge to make a move for the playoffs. Is that something worth doing, Andrew?
I don't know, because this is the thing, Bobby. If the Celtics are relying on either Nader or Jabari Bird to play quality 20-plus minutes in the playoffs, then the Celtics deserve to lose early, because the Celtics have too much. Even with the amount of injuries, 1 through 8, of the starting five today, you have Morris is going to come back, you have Monroe, and you have Shemmy. That 1 through 8, you don't need to have guys playing more than 10 minutes. Maybe
Larkin. That's what we talked about in the opener. And it does seem like Stevens is going in that direction, at least based on what he said after the game. He said, our bench is going to be crucial to what this team does in the postseason, whether it's 4 or 5 deep. I was surprised to hear it, but it might actually be how they approach the postseason, going deep, looking for different lineups, and Barrett helps you a little bit in that capacity. I'll ask you this. What have you thought about what he's given them over the last few games?
I mean, I like the way that he's wait, 1 second. I apologize. I have to send somebody. The voicemail is trying to call in and mess up our show, Bobby. But, no, I feel like Bird gives great athleticism to the Celtics. I mean, you look at that putback dunk today. That was extremely athletic. And he does give you efficient numbers. But I will say this. I mean, the teams they've played these past couple games aren't, like, quality teams. It's the Hawks. It's the Bulls. It's one of those things that they're going to be playing these intense, fast-paced games. I mean, people always talk about how much faster the playoffs are compared to the regular season. So I really question when Steven says they're going to go deep into their rotation. To me, that means Monroe, that means Morris, that means Shemmy, who's played quality minutes all year, and that means maybe a little bit of Larkin. So those are four guys. If they're doing more than that, Bobby, I don't know why Stevens would do that. Maybe for the last minute of a quarter, if you're going to give, Jaylen Brown an extra minute to kind of combine it with the TV timeout, you throw in Nader or Bird, okay, great. But, like, besides that, Bobby, you really are going to see, I think, like a tight, like when I talked about earlier, like a deep bench, I kind of mean the quality guys on this team, not the guys that before the season people really didn't know about. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a difference to what Brad Stevens means, and I would be shocked if you see Bird or Nader playing quality minutes this postseason.
I would be too, and I think that's the reason they're going to hold off on making that move. I think Stevens does want to keep those guys engaged just in case. So maybe that's what he's trying to do with comments like that. I wanted to talk to Chris Grenham about it, but we ran out of time on the clock, and I guess you can't call in after the clock expires. So thanks to him for trying. Celtics win this one. Oh, they actually did not win this one, sorry. 112-106, loss. But a big one on Tuesday nonetheless. We are going to have good duo of hosts here on that show. So be here after the nationally televised Wizards-Celtics game. Possibly a playoff preview. I would not miss that one. And check out eHarmony. Didn't get to mention it during the show, but our listeners are going to get a trial month of eHarmony when you try your first 3 months. It can be fun to play around with online dating apps. When you're ready to really fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love, and that's eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com to get started and enter the code GardenReport at checkout. You'll get a free month when you sign up for a 3-month subscription. I'm Bobby Manning. That's Andrew Rubino. We'll see you on Tuesday.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSRadio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.